Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
Welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with useful and immediate action steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. Today, I have a very special guest, Ken Keyes. He is the foremost global authority on behavioral assessment strategies and processes, an expert in leadership, purpose, and wellness. He has offered over 4 million words of content, including 500 articles, 4 books, and a dozen assessments. His purpose is to help others to live, lead, and work on purpose. He is the president and CEO of Consulting Resource Group International Incorporated, which has served thousands of companies, associations, industry groups, and leaders in over 30 countries with their proprietary assessments and learning solutions. In the past 30 years, Ken has personally conducted more than 3,000 presentations and 10,000 hours of coaching and consulting. He is a highly sought-after author, speaker, trainer, podcast host of the Secrets of Success podcast with Dr. Ken Keyes, and TV and media guest. His latest books include Why Aren't You More Like Me? Deliberate Leadership and The Quest for Purpose. Welcome, 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 Dr. Ken, to the Men on Purpose podcast. What a perfect show for you.
Wow. Well, quite the introduction there. But thank you for having us on and be able to serve everybody out in podcast land today.
Yeah, well, I think that you're a perfect fit for the Men on Purpose podcast, since it sounds like purpose is a main theme in your own life and your own work and your own business for many years. So I'd love to have you talk a little bit about what called you to work in this realm of purpose and leadership.
Well, I mean, like everybody's story, we have a journey. And so that journey, actually, I grew up on a dairy farm. So I was a third generation firstborn male, Eastern European descent. Emerald, do you think there was any pressure for me to stay on the farm? Like a little bit. But I even knew when I was 16 years of age that I wanted to be a communicator to encourage others. And when I got to the late 80s, which I was probably my sort of mid-20s or so, or late 20s, I knew I was supposed to communicate, but I didn't know about what. So I actually hired a coach in 1989 before coaching was big. And I drove from Vancouver to Seattle. I live in Vancouver, Canada, for 6 months. And we worked on this clarity. I knew I was supposed to serve people, but what was I supposed to do? What was the content? And so here we are. This is my 30th year as we record this in this industry. And really, that's where it evolved to say, how can I create content that helps people get clear in all areas of their life? Because we believe in a holistic development so that they can live, lead, and work on purpose. Mm. And so it was really the late 80s, early 90s when I got into this, which has been a journey. And as I talked offline, is that there's always this refinement, this journey of getting clearer about where I'm supposed to go. And as we get older and hopefully more mature, then that really is my call. And that's where the last book, The Quest for Purpose, came out of sort of 25, 27 years of work before I wrote that.
Mm, beautiful. So I do want to go just a little bit deeper because, you know, I'm curious if there was a turning point on the farm. Like, was there a moment? Was there an awakening? Was there some experience that you had? Was there some trauma that you had? Or was it just, you know, the simple knowing that you were here to communicate and that being a dairy farmer was not your gig?
Well, the answer is yes. So here's the story. I was asked, even when I was 17, 18, 19, I was the MC for many of the community banquets because I had fun. I was quirky. I don't do humor, but I do where we really have kibitzing with the audience and like to have fun with them. So I always got asked to do these banquets and lead different groups. I was the youngest president of an agricultural group at 22. And then as I got older, I actually started my own dairy farm. I started with my father, and it didn't go so well. He wanted to be in charge of everything. So did I. And so I started my own dairy farm. And here we are, 5:30 in the morning. It was May. The sun is coming up. And I'm looking out the window and I asked myself this question. And I want everybody else that's listening, if you could ask this of yourself as well. I said, would it be okay to be doing this 20 years from now exactly as it's occurring? And I said, well, absolutely not. I mean, I'm really the leverage point for me. I was good at what I was doing. I grew up. It was part of my heritage. I had the skills, but I knew that it wasn't my purpose or my passion long term. So that was the turning point where I said, no, I need to be doing something different. And so I was actually working in another company as a sales rep. And so I started in the industry as a sales trainer. And then you talk about fortuitous or a little divine intervention. I got to meet Dr. Terry Anders, who founded Consulting Resource Group, which is the assessment company, at a chamber event in 1990. That one single interaction, I then joined the company. He mentored me and then through the years really helped me to get my MBA and then later on to get my doctorate. So that journey then transitioned from sales training into leadership, into wellness, into values clarification, all these components, and really work with Dr. Anderson. And then later on got several contracts with large organizations to deploy this content. So yeah, it's been of a journey and I just listened. I could have just said, no, stay on the farm. It's comfortable. I could be good at it, but I wouldn't necessarily be passionate. And here we are 30 years later.
Beautiful. So I want to dive a little bit even more deeply into this because you had a certain skill set, right? You knew how to dairy farm, right? And yes. you actually had a support system around you to support you in that pursuit. I'd love to have you talk to our listeners around the world about how to have the courage to kind of extract yourself from kind of like a done deal, right? To extract yourself from a done deal and be willing to listen into your own higher calling and say yes to it. So if there's any suggestions or immediately actionable steps that our guys can take, if they are in that kind of like, oh, this is a done deal kind of situation, whether they've gone to school or whether it's a family business or whatever it is, but they know internally that it's really not a fit. Can you talk about exercising that courage muscle to say yes and go off in your own direction?
Well, thank you for that question. I think it's very important. I think, Emerald, one of the saddest states of affairs, we've all seen the stats, and it's in my book, The Quest for Purpose, is that majority of people are not engaged at work, don't like what they're doing. You know, it varies, but from 8 to 15% of the people are living on purpose. And so the challenge for people out there is you already know if you're disengaged at work, if you dislike what you're doing, there's a couple of things that could be contributing. You could be doing the right thing, but in the wrong environment, meaning it's a toxic workplace, and really that's not the place for you to bring your to bear. But what I teach is that life leaves clues. And so am I paying attention? There's a statement I use that people had heard before, but people like the certainty of misery rather than misery of uncertainty. So we have this known place, you have social pressures. By the way, I mean, I'm a very sort of outgoing, independent soul, if you may, but it took all I could in terms of courage to go to the next level. So my coach was helping me. My encouragement to everybody listening, if you know it's not right and you're unable to disconnect, then you want to seek wisdom and help in advice from other people who are supporters. Now, I wrote an article recently, is that every single person has an opinion. Very few people have wisdom. And the last person you want to ask is the person that's inside this sort of pit with you. You want to ask people that where you want to go, not where you are. So go and seek that help. And interesting, you know, people like you and I, we're honored by other people asking us to assist and help. It's not an imposition if you're not trying to be needy about it. But if you simply say, well, listen, I want some help on the ability to go to the next level. The other thing is, do you remember the book, What Color is Your Parachute? Mm-hmm. So Richard Bowles, he just passed away last year at 91. And I'm having dinner with him in California. So this is a best-selling book on really getting clear about your career. And I asked him the question. I said, with all the stuff that's out there, all the podcasts, all the opportunities, Emerald, to go to the next level, why are so many people still struggling? And he immediately responded, is this people have not been willing to do the work. You know what? If you're listening to this podcast and you take no action, you're going to have the same life tomorrow as the day after. What is the one thing you're going to do as a result of that? You know, one of the things I get people to do is to actually write an autobiography. And the older you are, the longer the autobiography. But here's what you're writing. Every part of your life where you are passionate or excited or vibrant or energized. You know, I don't believe in motivation. Interests compel or draw. So I just finished doing a road trip. I was speaking in, you know, multiple different cities. I am now nearly 60. I've been doing this for 30 years. You know what, Emerald? I actually am more energized, more passionate, more engaged in doing this now, 30 years later. There is a certain amount of maturity that sort of kind of circled around me where I'm not there to prove anything. I'm just really there to serve you, to help. And then when you take 3 decades of experience going in it, it's just, it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. So interests compel, it draws you. There's no such a motivation. I don't motivate you. Emerald's not going to motivate you. You have to make that choice. But are you paying attention? Now, what we do in the book is I get people to break it down. Because usually, you know, we ask this question, what's your purpose, Emerald? Well, it's too big of a question for most people. So I get them to say, well, what are some of the sights, the smells, the tastes that really excite you? What are the geographic places that really energize you? You were talking about being outside prior to this, and you were just nature, just nurturing you, if you want to call it that. Or then I talk about what kind of people do you like to hang out with that really are positive for you? You know, we know that you will become like your 5 closest friends. That research is proven. So, yeah, and it's not that we're better. It's not that we're trying to be judgmental, but our direction might be different than the current friends. And if the current friends aren't really causing you to go towards that direction, then maybe you need to find some new sort of peer group to draw you to not necessarily push you, but encourage you to go to that next level so that you can have courage. And over the years, you know, Dr. Anderson, who founded Consulting Resource Group, and this is our 40th year as a business, he encouraged me. And then later on, I was encouraging others and then other coaches, et cetera. So we don't want to do this on our own. And it's interesting, you know, when I was fortunate enough to be invited to a group of coaches with Marshall Goldsmith, the number one executive coach in the world in New York a year ago, and I met this individual, Tal Shabar, who talks about self-worth. We all know now that social media actually causes self-worth to go down because I have this addiction, the fear of missing out or whatever it is. And so we need to kind of disconnect technology wise. Podcast is great though. You know, keep listening because we're going to encourage you. But on the other hand, who are some live, real people that can stand beside you and just be with you to mentor, to support, to coach, encourage, or just listen to the direction that you're going?
Mm, beautiful. Well, there was so much in there, and I'm definitely going to be unpacking it on the other side of our break. We're already at the break. It happens so quickly. I want to thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. I want to shout out this week to our listeners in Vancouver, which is where Dr. Ken is. And we will be right back in just a moment with Dr. Ken Keith.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Dr. Ken Keyes. Dr. Ken has a very special gift for our listeners. An e-copy of his book, The Quest for Purpose. You can find that at www.kenkeis, and that's kenkeis.com/purpose. And we will definitely have that in the show notes for you. So on the top side of our interview, right at the end, you were talking about purpose and passion and interest compelling or drawing you and not needing to motivate people, but really just guide them towards their natural interests, the places where they're really drawn. I'd love to have you talk a little bit about, because I've had mentors myself, I've had coaches myself, I've had experiences myself where on the one hand, people like yourself and like myself, we talk a lot about purpose, we talk about passion, we talk about being drawn. And then on the other side of the equation, there are people who say, you know, forget about the stupid passion stuff, just go do it, you know, and who are more about perspiration than they are about passion. So mm-hmm. I'd love to have you talk a little bit, if you could, about this idea of being drawn and compelled and how to maybe extract yourself from a mindset of just push through and put your nose to the grindstone and things are going to work, which I haven't found to actually be true. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, first, the point of clarification, just because you're on purpose doesn't mean you don't work hard, right? I mean, there's days that where we have to be diligent. I remember where I would never do it again, but I was blessed with a contract where I was working pretty well every day. So I was on the road 300 days a year for six, seven years. Nearly cost me my marriage. It was great because that's where a lot of my speaking experience happened, because I was doing over 200 events a year. But part of, first of all, there's a couple of mindsets here first. Number one is you have to believe that you have a purpose to start with. And some of us have sort of multiple directions. It's not singular. You know, I love dairy farm. You know, one of my passions is motorcycles. So I'm part of a motorcycle ministry, and that really just drives me. And hanging out with my friends and buddies there is just great. And so, first of all, every single person listening to this, you have an assignment, a calling, a purpose, or maybe bracket purposes. I was a member speaking at a National Career Development Association conference, and one of the keynote presenters was just about to say, you know what, passion doesn't matter. Be careful about it. So what are you talking about? Now, it is true. My son is a musician. He's very gifted. And so he does some work with his wife, who's also a singer, but he's a realtor. So we can have these multiple passions where we're engaged and enthralled. I go for a motorcycle ride. I feel energized as a result of that. It's just my space to kind of release. So that is a passion, but I'm not making money from it per se. On the other side is that, again, as I said before, is that starting to pay attention to those things that I love doing. Now, because I love doing it doesn't mean I'm good at it. So when I first started speaking, oh man, you wouldn't want to have listened to me there. And the reason I feel so much more confident on podcasts, I've been like over on hundreds and hundreds, and then a couple hundred, 150 are myself on my own show. So guess what? Repeated effort brings confidence and brings clarity. You've done it. So everybody there, if you're trying to unhook, is first of all, don't feel guilty about your current condition. Because we can burden ourselves, well, I should be there, all these shoulds on ourselves, right? So first of all, accept where you're at. Number two, don't do anything rash because you listened to Emerald and Ken on the show. Just say, okay, I want something different. Okay, so cool. So that's fine. Number three, then what are you going to start paying attention to start journaling? You know, all the research shows is that not only thinking about it, but writing it down. So when we write this autobiography, you know, what are the people you want to hang out with? What do you want to do? What are some interests? And don't document anything where there's a negative or a neutral. You want to move towards where this high energy or these positive things occur for you. And then, of course, I work with the coaches. I knew I was supposed to speak, but I didn't know exactly what was the message and who was the audience. That took me 6 months. Of working with that individual. So the other one is being in it for the long haul, Emerald, not just, okay, easy peasy. And who I am now is different than who I was 10 years ago or 20 years ago. So we're refining this journey, and that's okay. The other one is you do have to protect yourself from people who might be naysayers. When I was leaving my sales job where I had a car and my lunches were paid for, my dad says, "What do you want to do that for? That is a stupid idea." So sometimes, Emerald, we need to not share that goal with people who are not going to be on board. Just say nothing. Just start thinking about it and then find your tribe, your fan group, your support people, and not be telling the other people who are about to try to steal your dream.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Ken. I'd love to have you talk just a little bit about monetizing, because I think that that is something that often comes up as a concern, especially for men who traditionally, culturally, societally have been carrying the expectation of being a provider. And I mean, I'll just use my own father as an example. My father loved athletics, and what he really wanted to do was be, you know, probably a gym teacher or involved in athletics in some way. And he ended up in the car business, which is, you know, about as far away from athletics as you can be. I'm grateful because I learned, I have the sales gene in my body, I think probably from him. But, you know, I definitely, one of the messages he gave to me was, you know, be happy with what you're doing with your life. Mm-hmm. Like that's the important thing. But the example he set was he was absolutely miserable, like to the point where he became a raging alcoholic and yet provided. Do you know what I mean? So can you talk a little bit about how we link our passion and our purpose to profitability?
Of course, it's a huge question, isn't it? Yeah. And there's the answer to it is as varied as the people that are listening. However, that being stated, part of, hey, I grew up in this industry where there was no internet. You know, here we're on a podcast, on Zoom, Skype, whatever format you are. We're connecting. You're in one side of the country. This wasn't even unheard of just 20 years ago when I was working with Chrysler in the 90s. I actually commuted from Vancouver to Detroit for a year. For a year, every week I flew there because there was no internet for the program development that I was leading. I had to go there physically. So now there's more options than ever before. The other one is there's lots of groups out there, Emerald, and this is not sidestepping it, but there are many mastermind groups around people that can talk about your specific sort of passion, what you're trying to do, and then how do I be creative with that? So let's say I like fitness, but I don't want to open my own studio and rent it. Well, what about selling fitness equipment? What about being an on-site fitness trainer? And then you margin that. Maybe you're going to get into fitness products, and then all of a sudden you're going to be selling that. And that becomes residual. Now, we do have, you know, a dozen assessments. One of them is on personality. Another one's an actual entrepreneurial assessment. One of the reverse engineer questions, Emerald, we ask people is, what is the lifestyle that you want that's going to fulfill you? In other words, if I want to have 3 months off a year to be able to live my life, to travel, and that's what I like to do, having a 24/7 corner store as the only employee is not going to work, is it? So the goals of my life are not necessarily congruent with the business model. So one of the things we talk, we have a lot of consultants and trainers that access our tools. We have a remarketing program and ask them, says, do you want to have a business, which is a Robert Kiyosaki side, or do you want to have a practice, which is sort of on your own? And my mentor that I also hired for my business was Alan Weiss, just close to you in Maine there. Okay. So,
Next state over.
Yeah, that's right. So he's close by, but one of the things you want to ask yourself, he doesn't want to have employees. So, I mean, he has a multiple seven-figure business. So you start thinking about other concepts such as how do you leverage? How, do you want to create residual or passive income? This is like a 20-hour podcast show if you want to get into all those things. So you start thinking about, you know, we know in coaching, it's time for money. So I can have that, but then how is the revenue mix? So these are all questions that you start asking about the structure of the business. Now, here's the other one is we believe in playing to your strengths. So not only do I like the business, but when we have people complete our personality assessments, my book, Why Aren't You More Like Me, or Deliberate Leadership, or the Entrepreneurial Assessment, a lot of times people get in the right business, but they don't bring the right partners around them. Maybe I'm, like you said, the sales, the promoter, the engaging person, the idea person, but administration and administrivia, I suck at it. So rather than try to force yourself through it and burden yourself through it, maybe I need to hire somebody. Well, entrepreneurs don't do that. So now, I love your word that we started this whole show with is around intentional and deliberate's our word, is that I want to build my business intentionally. So I would say, what am I good at? Developing your weaknesses is highly overrated. And what I mean by that, we talk about natural preferences. Now, that does not mean you don't develop your skills. If you have no internet skills or no knowledge of technology and you want to go online, you need to kind of ramp up. So there's still, if you don't have the skills of communicating and influencing others, and you want to start your own business, it's not going to go so well. Every single person needs to learn sales skills. I don't care who you are. Yes, you can hide in the internet, but even there, you still have to write copy that appeals to other individuals, communicates to them, engages them. And so all of us need to develop that. So now all of a sudden there's all these tools, and that's the other side of our business where you start getting clear, what are your values? The other thing that we do, we have a values assessment. I said, what would it mean if you could make the right decision every time, Emerald? And we said, what you clarify what your values are, build your business on that. So let's say your value, one of your values is tranquility. Well, opening a credit collection department probably isn't going to be aligned with that. If I need challenge and I have this boring sort of a manufacturing plant that's the same every day to do widget 101, then I'm going to be bored. So these are the things that people intentionally develop. And that's, you know, I cover that actually in the book. I mentioned some of those assessments that not only do you need to do narrative, but you also do the assessment side so that all of those combine to give you clues about some possible direction for you.
Beautiful. Well, I think the main thing that I heard in your response to the question about money is there's more than enough. There's plenty of money out there. And it's just a matter of kind of honing in and, you know, kind of combining all of the skills and the assessments and the value inventory and all of those things together to come up with the right equation specific to each individual. So awesome. Well, we have about...
Agreed. There's more than enough money. There's more than enough money, Emerald, out there is to serve those people.
Great. So we've got about like a minute left. So if there's one quick thing that you'd like to say before we close, and then we'll wrap for today's show.
Well, I think when you get into purpose, you know, all the research is clear. Is those people that are the healthiest in life have a level, some kind of level of meaning. And you don't go into purpose. You don't do what you love doing for self-centered reasons. You do it for self-honoring reasons. My highest level, your highest level of contribution is when you're engaged in your purpose. Because you know what? We need resilience. We need grit. That comes out of those spaces. Because all of us as entrepreneurs have had those days where we're just ready to like, I am done. We go through that, but it's the passion, this purpose, the clarity that gets us to the other side. So I encourage everybody who's listening that those are some of the things to consider as you go forward. Every single person listening has a purpose. And if you don't have a purpose, your purpose is to find your purpose.
Nice. I love it. All right. That was great. So listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show with Dr. Ken Keyes. Make sure you check out his website, www.kenkeyes.com/purpose, to get the e-copy of the book, The Quest for Purpose. And, you know, definitely let us know what you thought of the show. Send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at Men on Purpose Podcast. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on Apple Podcasts and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.